Yes, indeed. Welcome into our Thursday edition, a treasure chest Thursday edition of Sports Talk. It is October the 3rd, a Thursday, getting ready for Thursday night football between the Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And one of many interesting matchups other than the Saints this week. Obviously, we're going to have a little more time on Sunday to watch some NFL games with the Black and Gold playing the Monday night contest. And the one that's real interesting, going to be an early start too on Sunday. In London, the New York Jets taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And you will talk about one of the surprise teams this season. How about Sam Darnold and the Vikings, what they've been able to do so far? A lot of people are going to criticize who they've, you know, played thus far, saying the Vikings aren't nothing, what their 4-0 record says. But like we always say, look at who they're playing. You just got to play who you have on your schedule.
Exactly. If I'm the Vikings, I'm not the one who made up the schedule. The NFL did.
But definitely,
if you got to squawk to them about it.
A test in good old Tottenham Stadium against the New York Jets this week. I know that defense is tough for gangrene over there, and I'm waiting for that offense to get rolling with Aaron Rodgers. I'm really surprised that Garrett Wilson's kind of had a down season so far.
Man, if you know, I'm Aaron Rodgers, I got a seat right next to the owner, Woody Johnson, and say, Mr. Johnson, could you get me that Davante Adams guy?
Me and him hooked up a few times before.
Yeah,
it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, we pretty good on that deal. Because, look, if it don't work out, Woody Johnson got to blow it up anyway. So you take your chances here,
right?
With that spot. But you talk about Sam Darnold, and these are the numbers Sam Darnold has put up inside the red zone. Sam Darnold was 18 of 25, 118 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Inside the 10 this year, Darnold's 9 of 12, 45 yards, 7 touchdowns. So out of the 9 completions, 7 of them have went for touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You talk about efficient. Man, that's as good as you can find. And we talked about it, I think, Tuesday with Mark Schlereth, that Mark was the first one, and I think it was like late November last year, to bring it up that, hey, guys, because when I asked him the question, is there a veteran quarterback you think that could cash in? He said, yeah, one. He said, I talked to Kyle Shanahan, and I think it's Sam Darnold. Man, you should have seen that text line light up. Man,
is he drunk? What is crazy? What's he smoking?
Has Mark Schlereth ever watched Sam Darnold? I mean, all kind of crazy stuff. And now look what Sam Darnold has done. And
really amazing.
And to be honest, Sam Darnold only signed there because Kirk Cousins took that money from Mr. Blank and left Minnesota to go to Atlanta. And he was going to be the stopgap guy. He was going to be the Band-Aid for when they drafted a young quarterback. If it was going to be a Bo Nix, if it was going to be J.J. McCarthy, which it ended up being, that right. being the guy. And then he gets hurt. And, man, Sam has played unbelievable. Unbelievable so far this season. But, man, it's a big week. If the Jets pull an El Stinko game out in London,
right?
Man, on that trip back, they're going to have a lot of unhappy folks.
And it's a long flight home.
And you know, one thing with Aaron, it ain't my fault. You blame Robert Saleh for that.
Yeah.
And, man, the media in New York right now, they not too thrilled about Robert Saleh as the coach. And Joe Douglas, I've known Joe for a long time scout in the National Football League before he became a general manager. And, you know, his seat's hot, too. He's the one who picked Saleh and had all those picks.
Right.
But it wouldn't surprise me, because I think want and need are two different things, that it doesn't shock me at this point that the Jets have – kind of are trying to maneuver themselves to get the inside track, you know, on Davante Adams. I think certainly the Saints and Pittsburgh are two other teams with a lot of interest. It depends on what it's going to cost. It's always, to me, about what I got to give up for a guy who's not – well, he is signed for next year, but you're not going to pay him that kind of cash.
Exactly.
What do I look at in the telescope for 2026 if I've got to give you up that much draft capital? So – it won't play out this week, but I wouldn't be surprised next week is when you see movement with Devontae Adams. I don't think it's going to last long.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
And a loud tick-tock, tick-tock.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, getting into some more Pelicans talk with the radio voice of the Pels, Todd Graffinini, getting ready. Training camp underway for the Pellies, and they got a preseason game matchup before the Saints kick off against Kansas City Monday night. They're going to be taking on the Orlando Magic in the afternoon in the Smoothie King Center. We'll get into all that when we get back from the break right here on WWL at the Treasure Chest Casino. We are back at the Treasure Chest Casino, the game bar and grill, as we're getting off ready for the Thursday night football action. The Atlanta Falcons and Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on each other in NFC South bout that Saints fans definitely interested. Kickoff coming at 7 o'clock. We've been talking about, obviously, a big Monday night bout between Saints and Kansas City Chiefs in KC. We also got Monday preseason action for the Pelicans. It's hard to believe NBA action's back. And we'll have that, obviously, on 870 AM for you, a 1230 tip-off in the Smoothie King Center. Joining us now, too, the voice of the Pelicans, Todd Graffinini. How you been, man, at training camp?
Todd, you are a new five-star recruit we bring in here to WWL. So we're expecting very little, but we know you're going to give us a lot.
Mike, you're too kind. Steve, guys, thanks for having me on the show. But before we get into the Pel stuff, I got to tell you this. I really, really enjoyed your Steve Foley interview an hour ago, and if you'll indulge me a little bit, just have a quick story. Steve Foley is my all-time favorite NFL player that is not a New Orleans Saint, and I'll tell you why. Besides being a fellow Jesuit grad, Steve was a teammate of my stepfather, David Greiner, who was a member of that 1973 Tulane team that beat LSU 14-0 in Tulane Stadium. As a matter of fact, my stepdad had two interceptions in that game. I thought it was pretty ironic that Steve Foley would ultimately play the position in the NFL that my stepdad played at Tulane, which was called Monster Man back then. It's safety now. But the first NFL jersey I ever had was not a Saints jersey. It was the old Orange Crush number 43 Steve Foley jersey that I got my senior year at Jesuit. And when I would go to Jesuit games as a student, I would wear that jersey. So I stuck out like a sore thumb because everyone was wearing blue and white, and I had that Denver Bronco jersey with the 43 and Foley on the back. So I really, really enjoyed it, and I'm just so excited that he's going into the Ring of Honor in Denver. That's awesome.
Todd, I got to talk to him yesterday and telling him that, you know, you came aboard here to us on the Big 870, and that, you know, he's just started reminiscing. And you know what he talked about more than the win? The loss the year before. He was like, because I do remember it as a kid listening to it. And he was like, you know, I thought maybe we scored. If I'd have made a better pass, we'd have got in. And when they unpiled everybody, we were at the half-yard line, and we lost. But it gave us confidence for the next year to go up against LSU. And that stadium was so loud that night in old Tulane Stadium, you know, for that Tulane LSU game, and that's when, man, it was really something. But to break that 25-year streak, you part of that forever. And I told Steve, no matter where he lives, he's still got a New Orleans accent. If you listen to him talk, he still got it. And he laughed. He said, "Mike, you're never going to lose yours. I'm never going to lose mine. You don't have the New Orleans one. You got that down the bayou one." But he said, "I'm not going to lose mine either."
No, it was just awesome to hear him. And it's such a great honor. And, I mean, he played so many years in the NFL at that position. And again, as you guys mentioned, to have the all-time interception record for that franchise, which is such a storied and historic franchise, that's great. And like you said, Mike, earlier, I mean, you know, it's long overdue, but thankfully he's going to be in that ring for the rest of time. So it's pretty sweet.
Graf, you look at the Pel squad training camp on the road this year. How have things been going so far? I know a lot of excitement's building for this season, especially after last year. Obviously, things didn't end the way that everybody had hoped. But, man, that 49-win season, I know, has a lot of fans and folks excited for this coming basketball year.
No doubt, Steve. Look, it's been good to be in Nashville, you know, get away. It's good because, you know, the team bonds. You're in the hotel, and, you know, we've been practicing at Belmont University, which is about 2 miles from downtown Nashville where we're staying. So it's pretty convenient, and you get your work done. And, you know, it's been very energetic. It's been very intense. We had one practice today. The first 2 days were two-a-days, so you know, practice at 11 o'clock on what's today? Thursday, right? So 11 o'clock practices on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then 6 o'clock night practices on Tuesday and Wednesday, and those were basically, you know, scrimmage practices. So they've been really getting after it. Today was a little bit of both, some fundamental work defensively, and then, of course, the scrimmage. You know, you've got your situations. They're practicing clutch time. They're doing set scores, how much time's left, each team with one timeout. And it actually got a little heated today, which you really like to see. I'm not saying it's time to start playing the preseason games just yet. You know, you see that in the NFL when you're playing the preseason games and doing the month of training camp. It's like, all right, it's time to start hitting somebody else. We're not quite there yet, but it was a lot of fun to watch. But no, the practices have been really, really good, really solid. And look, Willie Green's going to need every practice and every preseason game that he can get, because there are a lot of different combinations that he's going to have to figure out going into the regular season as far as who's going to play.
Todd, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think we'll get a good look at this small ball lineup. But when they're going to go big, sort of tell everybody how this is going to match up at the center position, because I get you got to play with the talent that you have and maximize that talent. The center position certainly is one in question. But when they're going to – how it's going to break down at the center spot? Because – in some games, you might be able to get away with playing a lot of the small ball. But against other teams that have that talented big man, you're going to have to match up pretty well.
No, you're right, Mike. And again, that's going to be one of the challenges. You know, I would say, you know, right now the Pelicans have four what you would call bigs on their roster. And that's Daniel Tice, Eve Misi, Carlo Matkovich, and Trey Jemison, who is a two-way player. So, you know, and Misi, of course, is a first-round draft pick this year. He's really raw, but he's got the size, and he just hasn't played a whole lot of basketball in his life. You know, he started at a age of about 16, 17. So, but he's what you would call really the most traditional five you have. Tice is I've been very impressed watching him. This is an NBA vet who's played on winning teams. He's played internationally. Matter of fact, played outstanding in the summertime with Germany. They made the semifinals of the Olympics, and Tice played very, very well. Matkovich, again, is someone who's played internationally as well, played with the Birmingham Squadron last year, the G League affiliate for the Pelicans. And they brought him up now this year. And, of course, Jemison is really a physical specimen out of UAB. He was actually with the Pelicans a year ago during training camp and the preseason. And then the Washington Wizards really just signed him away from the Pels. But this is a kid in Jemison who's built like a brick wall, who actually got a lot of NBA experience last year with the Wizards and then the Memphis Grizzlies. So it was good to see Jemison back. But Mike, it's really going to be all about matchups. And like you said, on a night-in, night-out basis, the players that you see in one game might not necessarily be the players in the next game. It's all about matchups in the NBA. So you know you're going to have your core that's going to play 30 minutes every night, And then after that, it's going to be mixing and matching to see what matchups are the best for that particular opponent, whatever night that the Pelicans are playing.
Are you surprised? Because in watching them, you know, during the summer league, Antonio Reeves, because having watched him at Kentucky, man, he could light it up. He's an untypical Kentucky guy. He didn't leave after the first year. And he was a transfer guy. So your thoughts on Antonio and how he'll fit in this on this team? I do know one thing. He can shoot. Now, defensively, we'll see how that works out. But, man, can he light it up when he gets hot?
No, he can, and he's had a solid camp, and we've seen a lot of threes go in, and really that's been an emphasis this training camp, Mike and Steve. You know, Willie Green made no bones about it on media day. The Pelicans want to get up 40 threes a game, and, you know, Reeves is somebody who can shoot. Reeves' issue right now is it's just a really crowded backcourt. I mean, you're going to have to really, really excel to work your way in to the guys that are ahead of him right now. But look, three-point shooting is at a premium in the league. That's the way the NBA has gone the last 5 years, really. So anybody who can put the ball in from the perimeter beyond that three-point line is going to be an asset at some point. Look, I mean, I know you're going to ask about Trey Murphy, but, you know, everybody on that roster needs to be able to step out and make a three at some point, and they've actually been really working on it during some of the drills during practice. But, yeah, look, anybody who can shoot threes is going to be an asset because that's the way the league is, and that's really the type of style that the Pelicans are going to try and employ here, and that's why preseason is going to be really interesting to watch to see if what we're seeing right now during these practices is going to translate into the preseason games and beyond.
Todd, I think the other part, too, is DeJounte Murray and the smooth – it seems to be very smooth, the transition after the deal from Atlanta and how he'll work on the offensive side for the Pelicans. From what you've seen and really what you've heard also – this seems to be almost a seamless move here. And you need a facilitator. You can have shooters, but you need a guy to set up a shooter sometimes. You just can't go down court and just take the shot from 30 feet. You need somebody to set all that up. I think he's a perfect fit here in being the setup guy, the facilitator, to help a Zion, or if it's a Brandon Ingram, or when Trey comes back from the hamstring injury. I think that's a key to this season for the Pelicans.
Mike, you're 100% correct. And just watching DeJounte Murray in person the last few days, all I can say is this. He's as advertised. And not only is he the perfect fit for this team, he was a needed fit for this team. The Pelicans' clutch record last year, I mean, it's well documented. It just wasn't that good. And the Pelicans lost so many games down the stretch where it was in the grasp to get a W. And that's the difference between 49 wins and a play-in spot as the seventh seed or 54, 55 wins and a 4, 5, or 6 seed when you're not worried about the play-in. And having DeJounte Murray on the floor with the ball down the stretch is going to make a world of difference. And we saw it last night, actually, in the scrimmage. When he wasn't on the floor, it was a bit of a struggle for the blue team, who you would call, you know, the top rotation guys. They had some issues trying to score the basketball. And I went over to Antonio Daniels, who, of course, does a great job on the television side with Joel Myers. And I said, you notice this? You notice, because DeJounte wasn't playing at the time. He was watching. And he goes, that's exactly why you go get DeJounte Murray. And the thing about Murray also, Mike, is not only can he facilitate, he's a tremendous defender. He's a former first-team all-defensive player who at one point led the league in steals. And with him and Herb Jones on the floor at the same time, you've got two all first-team defenders in the league on the floor at the same time, but he is a clutch scorer. And I'd go 2 years ago, Mike, I watched him personally beat the Pelicans or at least send the game to overtime with a mid-range shot with 5 seconds left in the game. And he is not afraid to take those shots. He can score. He had 3 40-point games last year. So he can score. He can rebound, which the Pelicans are going to need him to do. And he can facilitate. There were times, you know, earlier this week talking about him leading the league in assists. He can do it all. He is the all-time triple-doubles leader for the San Antonio Spurs franchise. And as you well know, they've had some pretty good players go through San Antonio in that franchise. But he leads that franchise with 17 triple-doubles. So, plus, he's an outstanding defender, and he's a clutch performer. He is precisely what the Pelicans need, especially in the clutch.
Todd, obviously the Pelicans need to a healthy Zion Williamson. He was had a phenomenal season last year, hoping he can duplicate that type of presence in the lineup. Obviously, it was unfortunate to see what happened at the end of the year going into the postseason, but how's he looking now going into, obviously, his, hard to believe I'm saying this, his sixth season in the NBA?
Man, did that pass so fast? Talk about six seasons.
Well, I mean,
and you miss some time.
Think about it. Exactly, Mike. That's the thing. I mean, it's going fast, but a lot of those seasons, you know, he wasn't playing a whole lot. So that's just it. But to answer the question, Steve, he's looked spectacular. He is in the best shape I've ever seen him. He is motivated. I mean, he realizes, to your point, Mike and Steve, this is his sixth year, and he has never played in a playoff game. And two of these seasons that two of his six, you know, the Pels were in the playoffs, and another season we were in the play-in. And of course he got hurt in the play-in game last year against the Lakers, which arguably was the best game he had ever played in a Pelicans uniform. And he gets hurt on the drive to the lane and the layup, which he got to point number 40, which was his career high. It was just, you know, it was really rough the way that it ended for him, but he is coming to camp fully motivated, in shape, and a healthy Zion and in-shape Zion is a very, very dangerous Zion for the rest of the NBA.
Todd, some of the other highlights from this team, you look at Jose Alvarado getting an extension from the club recently.
Yep.
Great story with him, and just one of those guys it's hard not to root for considering his attitude, his effort, and just the energy he brings to this roster.
Well, Steve, it's well-deserved, and funny because we do a practice report on Pelicans.com and on a podcast. Myself and Andrew Lopez did the video report today, and our player of today's practice was Jose Alvarado. He just looks so comfortable now and in control. And it's, you know, you get the contract, and that's obviously something that weighs on NBA players. So the thing is, he's got some stability now. You know that he's under contract for the next 2 years. He's making a little money, but that has not deterred his attitude by any stretch. Jose is always going to be Jose. He's the type of player that you say, look, if he's on your team, you love him, and if he's on the other team, you hate him. Well, the good thing that is that he is a Pelican. But you think about it, guys. I mean, this is now starting his fourth year, which is hard to believe. This is an NBA veteran who has participated in huge games for the Pels. I mean, he has been in two playoff series, a play-in series, so he's got the experience. So going into his fourth year, he looks like an NBA veteran, and just really, really happy for him and his family that he's here. He calls New Orleans home, you know, undrafted out of Georgia Tech, and you didn't even know that he was even going to make the team when he came into camp his rookie year, and now he's got the contract. And look, the way he ran things today for that second unit, who are wearing the gray jerseys, it's It's like, all right, well, you know, when DeJounte Murray has to take a breather, you have no problem with Jose Alvarado running this team.
Odd final question for you, but is Oklahoma City the team to beat? Because all this accumulation throughout the last 3 or 4 years of all that talent, and now they've gotten a little bit of experience. They've sort of walked down that basketball court, you know, in some big games before. It seems to be set up that they're the team out west. We certainly know what's happening out east with the Celtics. Man, I'm still shocked at what the Timberwolves did to kind of help the Knicks, but whatever. Oklahoma City seems to be that team that everybody's sort of pointing at and say, hey, they're the team to beat this year.
Yeah, look, they're tough. I mean, we saw it firsthand last year, and it really just kind of all clicked together during the regular season for them. They wound up the number one seed, and of course the Pelicans had to play them as the 8th seed in the first round of the playoffs. But, I mean, look, it all starts with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's one of the premier players in the league. But to see what the supporting cast has done, what they have done around SGA, you know, Chet Holmgren, you think about, you know, his rookie year, he didn't play either. He was hurt. So he missed his rookie season. But Holmgren looked very, very strong last year, was outstanding against the Pelicans in the playoffs. Jalen Williams, who, you know, out of Santa Clara, nobody really heard of him, and he is an integral piece for that team. The thing that's dangerous about Oklahoma City is that they are so young. And like you said, they've got the experience now as far as postseason for the last couple of seasons. But, you know, it all starts with the guy who's running the show, and that's SGA, because it's the same thing like we were talking about with DeJounte Murray. When you've got a capable point guard, the ball is in your hands, and you can do what you need to do. If you have to score, you can score. If you need to facilitate, you can facilitate. And the other thing that makes SGA so dangerous is that he gets to the line as well as anybody in the league, and not only does he get to the line, he's an outstanding free throw shooter, so you're getting those free points. Look, they're going to be tough. Dallas is going to be tough. The entire Western Conference is going to be tough, guys. It's going to be one of those seasons where each and every night you better bring it or you're going to be in trouble. I mean, that's the bottom line. And the margin of error is so wafer thin. I mean, think about it. You play 82 games in an NBA season, which you think, man, that's a lot of games. And it is. It's a grind. It's a 6-7 month, you know, jaunt through the season. But ultimately, and it has for the Pelicans in the last 2 years, the difference between a play-in or a playoff team comes down to the final game. And it has the last 2 years. So every game is of uber importance, and you just got to try and win as many as you can and give yourself a chance to get out of that 7-10 slot and be a 1-6.
Todd, always great talking to you. Actually, really looking forward to hearing from you Monday. I know noon start
that,
on 8.
How about that, Geller?
Exactly, 8:70 a.m. noon start on pregame coverage, 12:30 tip-off in the Smoothie King Center against the Orlando Magic. Definitely some action before we get to Monday Night Madness with the Saints.
So, Graf, you become...
What a day that's going to be. What a day
yes,
that's going to be.
So, on you're WWL's version of Darian Minsaw from Tulane. How about that? You are a new addition at quarterback.
That is a compliment. That is an absolute compliment because that kid can play.
If I can be half of what he
can do, then I will take it. I am ecstatic that kid is a two-lane quarterback.
Man, we watching something special. We really are.
No doubt.
Appreciate you, Todd. Have a good one, man.
Thank you, Todd.
Bye, fellas. Thanks.
That is the radio voice of the Pelicans, Todd Graffanini. You can hear his call Monday, preseason game number 1, Orlando Magic. Like I was saying, noon pregame coverage, 12:30 tip-off. You can hear that all on 870 AM, part of the WWL team. We're going to be back with more sports talk right after this, so stay tuned. We're here at the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenner, back after these words. Hey, who dat? You want to be in that number when the Saints host Tampa Bay and the Denver Broncos? Well, you can enter to win WWL's Double Saints Game Day giveaway. That's a pair of premium game tickets to both games, plus you get VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. That's an open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron Mayne. That's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Just go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win tickets to Saints Tampa Bay and Saints Denver. That's from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and WWL. We'll be coming right back as we close out Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino on WWL after this. We are coming to a close here at the gorgeous Treasure Chest Casino here in Kenner at the bar, the game bar and grill.
Inside the game, all the way in the back.
Seeing some of the action, we got MLB action, one game in going on today, Charlie. What's going on with the Mets in Milwaukee?
Yeah, so after the Mets kind of blew it in Game 2, guys, the Brewers came from behind to force a Game 3, and that hasn't really been the case a lot since the MLB decided to extend that wild card series from a best of 1 to a best of 3. This is a pretty fun stat. Only 4 of the 20 series have needed a Game 3 so far. 16 of the 20 have all been sweeps, including, you know, my Astros getting swept by the Detroit Tigers yesterday. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about what's happening right now in the only Game 3 of wild card weeks for the MLB. And so far it's 0-0 through about 3 innings, guys. The Mets and the Milwaukee Brewers, the winner advances and moves on to face the Philadelphia Phillies in the divisional series.
Charlie, were you surprised after seeing so much disappointment with the Mets the season this year from them? Because, you know, a lot of people thought over the last 2 years they were going to be a team to beat, and that wasn't the case.
No, I mean, they had their story this season could be told in multiple stories. Like, they had that crazy surge in the summer, and, you know, just kind of being able to make the postseason after it came down to a doubleheader in Atlanta, and the way that they made the postseason, which has been so fun to kind of cover. But as far as this matchup goes, yeah, I mean, they're one game away, basically six innings away from potentially getting to the divisional series. I think if you told a lot of Mets fans that back in April, they'd be pretty stunned.
Believe it. Never believe it.
Guys, we're pushing out of here, and obviously Thursday Night Football got to come on about against the Buccaneers and Atlanta Falcons. I know you picked Tampa in this one, Mike. Bucks. You think it's going to be a close matchup?
Yeah, I picked the Bucs, and I think it'll be a close game. But, man, they're playing better offensively than the Falcons are. I think both defense kind of offset one another, but I like what the Bucs are doing offensively.
Back tomorrow, fans of the Pro. Have a good night, everybody.